Just when you thought you couldn't fit another currency into your crypto wallet, the world's biggest social media network has announced it's about to enter the crowded blockchain marketplace. Facebook is set to launch its Libra cryptocurrency in 2020. And my next guest says it's possibly the most important technology to come along since the smartphone, which is quite a claim. So let's test it. Futurist Mark Pesce joins us on RN Drive. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, big call. Why is it such a game changer?
So really, it's fixing a problem the smartphone created. Now, something that we don't think about a lot in Australia, because we all have credit cards, is that when we use our smartphones to make transactions, we can always pull a credit card out. Well, 4 billion people have smartphones around the world. Less than 1 billion of them have credit cards. So all of those people have smartphones and they want to be able to trade, but they don't have a bank account or attachment to the banking system that lets them do that. To fill that gap, we can use digital currencies, cryptocurrencies. That was the original design intention of Bitcoin back in 2008. Turns out Bitcoin really isn't very good at that. It takes 10 minutes for a transaction to clear, which is not good if you're waiting in line for a coffee. So there's been this problem where we have billions of people who want to be able to trade over their smartphones, but we haven't had a way for that to happen.
Facebook says it's working with 27 organizations to create Libra. How much of an advantage is it to have the backing of, you know, big names like in finance, like Visa and MasterCard, PayPal?
I think that if you're talking about building a system that's going to work well from the beginning, it has to have lots of connections into other financial tools. So yes, it should be able to work with a credit card company. It should be able to work with PayPal. It should be able to work with a mobile company, and Vodafone is one of the partners there. So you have that idea that Facebook is the, as soon as they enter the space of cryptocurrencies, they're the 900-pound gorilla, and they've brought all of their 900-pound gorilla friends with them.
What does it mean for other cryptocurrencies?
That's the part that no one is really clear on yet. Someone was quipping today that there's the Winklevoss twins who sued Mark Zuckerberg in the beginning, said they invented Facebook. And after they left Facebook and got paid out, they invested in Bitcoin. And someone quipped today that, in fact, Mark Zuckerberg was ruining the investment that the Winklevoss had made in Bitcoin. But I doubt that that's really the case. This is going to function as a payments layer. It is designed to be something called a stablecoin. It's not designed as an investment. It's pegged to a basket of currencies, probably the US dollar and the yen and a couple of other currencies, so that its value isn't meant to fluctuate, which is something that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies do a lot of. And so you probably won't see people using it as an investment vehicle. It will simply be used as a payments vehicle.
US Congresswoman Maxine Waters, chair of the House Financial Services Committee, has asked Facebook to put the project on ice. What are the concerns for governments? Why is that the request?
Well, I mean, you have to look at this through at least two lenses. One is that until Bitcoin came around, governments basically always held for themselves as almost a reserve power, the right to make money, to print money and to put money in circulation. And Bitcoin's just been a bit of a sideshow, but this really changes the game. You now have this confluence of international, multinational companies now saying, we're going to create our own currency. And part of the reason they're doing this is because none of these state currencies have a digital form. And so they haven't filled the gap here. And people, including myself, have been telling these reserve banks that they should be doing more here. And in some ways, Facebook is exploiting this disconnect between smartphones and money. So that's part of it. And so I understand why they're concerned here around that Facebook is going to be a worry. But the other thing is that Facebook and all of these other companies will also now have a permanent auditable trail of all of the financial transactions that happen through Libra. And if you thought Facebook knew a lot about you before, well, this is going to take it to a whole new level.
Okay, that's disturbing.
Yes.
I mean, let's just stay with that for a minute. Whole new level. So you think there are intense privacy concerns for people?
There can be. Now, there are specific things. They published this white paper, which is what everyone is responding to. And there's specific things in the white paper about how you can maintain some pseudonymous, so you can disguise yourself. But we already know, because almost every law enforcement organization in the world has a lot of tools now because criminals are using cryptocurrency that can trace these transactions even when people attempt to hide them. And we know that Facebook is very good at figuring out all sorts of things about you that you never explicitly told them. So what we will see is that in terms of the data set, the rich will continue to get richer. And the thing is, that's going to happen no matter what cryptocurrency we use. But seeing Facebook as the sort of hub of the wheel of this, you know that one of the things they're here for is the data party.
You've said that there's potentially huge advantages here for people in developing countries who can't get access to credit. Explain to me how that would work.
So again, if you're going to transact on a smartphone, you generally have to do that with some sort of credit card, right, or stored value card. Now, in China, they're a little bit different. Everyone has either an Alipay or a WePay account, which is actually directly debiting from their savings account. But again, in China, 700-800 million people have savings accounts. In India, that wasn't true until over the last 4 years. Narendra Modi basically gave every Indian citizen their own banking account, and that is definitely not true in, say, Pakistan or in Bangladesh or in most of Africa. All of those people can't use a smartphone to do any transaction because they have no way of getting the money into the smartphone. And so this really does solve that problem.
Is there a chance it's opening up the opportunity for people in developing nations to, well, I'll just put it bluntly, get into crippling debt?
I think we will see a lot of people creating very sophisticated financial products using these new tools, and there is going to be a danger that people will be entering into contracts that they can't pay. And this is part of where I think there's a real good space for the regulators to take, not so much a go slowly approach is probably a good idea, not a stop approach, but a go slowly approach to make sure that as these new tools come to market, they aren't simply used as a way of fleecing the poor out of the little money they have.
Wow. Facebook has said it'll implement technologies to prevent money laundering and fraud. Are they going to do that as well as they've cracked down on hate speech? Because, I mean, you know, I'm being facetious, but hasn't always worked according to plan.
So let me tell you what I'm going to do next week on this topic. I'm flying to the G20 summit in Osaka because one of the side conferences that's happening is the meeting between the regulators and all of the cryptocurrency exchanges to bring them into the compliance with all of the anti-money laundering laws. Because as we know, cryptocurrencies have been used illegally for a long period of time because they've avoided compliance. That is about to change because the nations of the world have decided it is going to stop. And so there will be a whole suite of technologies and agreements about how that's going to work. And Facebook will clearly have to comply with all of those agreements as they're being developed. So Facebook will not be making this up. They will not simply be waving their hands and saying, we're complying. There will be standards and practices just the same as any bank has to go through. They will presumably be required to be audited to make sure that they are in compliance with those standards.
You've been known to stick the boot into Facebook over data mining, you know, user privacy, how fake news was able to spread on the platform. Isn't this just another example of Facebook's growing, you know, they're kind of taking over the world, right?
When it became clear what was really going on, I privately told people that this is the cryptopocalypse, you know, that this is just Zuck is winning everything.
Now not here. So private.
Yeah, exactly. But it has that feeling that Facebook has become such a hub for the 2 billion people who use it every day. It's become such a hub that it's really easy for them to add a new service and have just the addition of that service, this cryptocurrency, change everything for a lot of people around the world, that this is how big and powerful they are. And most of the time, they just sit there and sort of quietly read all of your data. Now they're actually, in some sense, flexing a muscle and they're changing the world. And I think that this is an enormous wake-up moment to how powerful such an embedded system of communication has become for everyone.
Mark, always a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Mark Pesce is a futurist, inventor, author, and educator. And this is RN Drive.